everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Built Like This podcast. I'm your host, Maxine. We're on episode 303. Hi, how are you? Hope you are doing well. Before we get started, make sure you are subscribed. Shout out to my recent subscribers and my veteran subscribers. I am loving the engagement, the attention, not like that, but you know, the attention nonetheless. I appreciate that more ears and eyes are coming onto this podcast. So welcome aboard. And if you are new here, welcome. Thank you for clicking this video and I hope you enjoy. But please, 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 as your way of supporting me, click the subscribe button on YouTube, on Spotify, as well as Apple Podcasts for this podcast. So that is your way of supporting this independent broadcast. Let's get started. Okay, so no more Pornhub? Yes, we're gonna get started with the meat and potatoes now. I am quite disturbed by this news here. As a Texas resident, as a transplant here in Texas, I am disturbed by this. I am disturbed by this for a number of reasons. I have shared with you all my pleasure in this platform. I have. And I think there is something to be said when there are more obstacles to get in the way of that. Now, for those who may not know, there is a law now in place for particular adult websites such as Hub. And, you know, I'm doing that for YouTube reasons, even though I already said the word earlier. Hopefully, they didn't catch it. Hub has disabled Texans from accessing its content this week so far as a way to object. No, this week to object to a Texas law that requires websites showing pornographic content to conduct age verification. So basically, if you live in the state of Texas and you are feeling a little frisky, but you're by yourself, your partner's not with you, your man's not here, and you want to get it on with your finger, and you need some lustful content available, you roll over to this website and realize, oh, it's not just a click of a button to your favorite video or your favorite genre. No, you have to actually upload a copy of your ID. Yes. Yes, you heard me. You have to upload a copy of your ID to verify your age, to verify if you are old enough to watch said content. Now, this is due to a House bill called House Bill 1181, which was passed in June and went into effect in September. This bill focuses on age verification system that uses a government ID or public or private transactional data to verify the age of an individual. Not just Texas is experiencing this, as well as Arkansas, Mississippi, Montana, North Carolina, Virginia, and Utah. So very much red wing states. And as a fellow red winger, as you guys may assess from just my perspectives on different things, you may feel like, wait, why are you upset, Maxine? Because I pick and choose. That's why. I pick and choose what I agree with, what I'm upset with, and that's how I do my life. That is how I customize my life. I am not all red and all or are all blue. You know, I'm a human being and I pick and choose and customize different values and principles that works best for me. Okay. As far as this, though I may be conservative in other areas in my life, for porn, I'm not. Hello? I'm not here, okay? I'm not conservative here. Now, you may also wonder, what's the big deal? Isn't it fine? Isn't it best for us to have a protective layer for such websites that are raunchy and may be trigger points for addictive personalities? Look, yes, of course, if you are underage, maybe you shouldn't be on these sites. Maybe this site is not for you, but I'm not speaking for you right now. I'm speaking for myself. I'm speaking for other people like me who like to enjoy content like this when other avenues are closed. If my boyfriend is somewhere else, what? Hello? Hello. It's inconvenient, okay? It's an inconvenience when I have to upload a copy of my photo ID with my date of birth just so I could rub one off. What are we doing? Hello? What are we doing? So you may think, okay, well, just upload it. So what? First of all, it's inconvenient, like I said, because I just want to go to that video or videos and do what I have to get done, you know, rather than, oh, let me get up from this position that I'm in on my couch or on my bed and roll to my work bag where my wallet is, shimmy out my ID that's tucked very tightly in my wallet, in my Kate Spade yellow wallet, just so I could rub one off. I might as well go to sleep. I might as well take a nap. I might as well take a shower. But that's the cure for something like this. Right? If you're horny, take a shower. You know, if you're horny, go to sleep. Or just go pee. It's really just urine at this point. All you need to do is urinate. But yeah, that's an inconvenience. And it's more of this data pulling that we're in the society. If one could pull up your ID, your residence, your social security number, a picture of who you are, then they're probably likely able to track the type of content, the type of adult content that you may be viewing. And I'm not saying this as a way to like, oh my gosh, what are you trying to say, Maxine? No, what I'm saying is what you do is no one's business, really. But it's just uncomfortable because for whatever reason, you know, sometime in the future, someone pulls up, hey, I noticed on the 6th, the 7th, the 8th of this month, you've been accessing this website quite often at the same time watching this type of video. Could you explain? No, I can't. I don't have an answer for you. You know what I mean? I just don't feel like this is appropriate or necessary. I think this just goes down to parental guidance. If this is for the sake of the children, there are other things that need to be done instead. You know, because, okay, sure. Now, 12-year-old Tommy can't access Pornhub because he doesn't have a valid ID, right? Okay, he could find it in other ways, right? But let's get to the root of that. Why does he desire to search for that type of content online or period? What's going on? What is he curious about? What is he experiencing maybe? You know, what is he consuming on a daily basis that will trigger this type of curiosity? That is where things should be investigated. Not for a woman who's in her early 30s and who just wants to rub one off because her boyfriend's out of town. Hello? Like, it's just inconvenient. I just don't like, one thing about my life right now and the era that I've been in, it's really about convenience for me. I'll pay an extra fee if that means I'm in a comfortable seat. I'll pay an extra fee if that means you're cleaning every crevice of my car and I don't have to do the extra work, right? Whatever that looks like, I like the soft life. I like the comfort in knowing that my service is appreciated and things are done with quality care. I can't easily contain this type of, I don't know. My point is, it's inconvenient, okay? It's inconvenient and I don't like it. So, what else? The Age Verification Providers Association is a, quote, not-for-profit global trade body representing 26 organizations. And like I said, it's not just Texas that's experiencing this. The point is to protect minors here. So according to a statement from Pornhub, it says here, quote, employing the least effective and yet also most restrictive means of accomplishing Texas's stated purpose of allegedly protecting minors. The company also devised manufacturers and operating system providers should be the ones responsible for age verification. It says here also that, quote, obviously people are sometimes a little bit nervous about sharing their identity when they're looking at that sort of site. So the essence of our industry is proving your age without disclosing your identity. Okay. He said in Europe, people are working on a system where users can recycle their age verification check from one site to access others. I mean, there are multiple different methods and they are effective, and we operate a certification scheme where providers are audited against international standards. Anyway, the point is, it's annoying. When we don't figure out the actual problem, but we just add, you know, a Band-Aid to it, we put it around, some type of bandana to tighten it up. It's just really, like, it's too much. It's too much. I find it inconvenient again. If inconvenient is the word of the day, then say so, Maxine. But it is. It really is. Anyway, Pornhub may not be the only site, okay? So there may be other adult websites that will experience this as a Texan, and maybe other residents of the other states that I mentioned. So if you're in Arkansas, Mississippi, etc. So we'll see. We'll see. I guess I'll just stick to Twitter. Let's move on, child. Okay, so let's get into Amanda Seals. I haven't talked about her in a while. I have not talked about her in a while. And that's for a plethora of reasons. One being, she makes me cringe every time. I don't think cringe is the adequate word choice here. I think with her, she is just so insufferable that I just don't even want to hear it. But I also just tune in whenever, like, she will come on my algorithm, whenever she would go viral for a moment, I'll just tune in and I'll roll my eyes hard again because of, yet again, she's a professional victim. Like, that is her role. You know how, oh, she, you know, she's an actress, comic, and yada, 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 producer. She's a professional victim as well. She's someone who thrives off of being victimized and look at me, I'm oppressed, I deserve more, you know, you're wrong for not treating me better than how I should be treated. I deserve. She has come out and made a strong claim or just declaration against Hollywood altogether, but not just Hollywood, particularly Black Hollywood. She said that she has not been invited to Black Hollywood events and activities for as long as she could remember, it seems like, which is quite odd because I remember during the pandemic, she actually hosted the BET Awards in her home. You know, this was obviously during a time when everything was locked down, everything was done virtually. So she was given the opportunity to host the BET Awards. Yeah, Amanda Seales, which I was shocked about in the beginning, but I was like, you know what? Hey, cool, it's an opportunity. Good for her. You know, I try not to be a hater. So she hosted it. I think she did a fine job, but, you know, it was what it was. Come to find out, since then, she has not been invited to the BET Awards. I wish I could make this. Like, what? How do I host your award show and you don't invite me to your show afterwards? Like, all the years afterward, I have not received an invite? That's wild. But okay, what isn't surprising to me is this, all of this. She has a history of being an asshole, yet she lacks the self-awareness, the accountability, and just the wherewithal to sit back and be reflective, you know? I want to go back to a moment when she decided to talk about this man named Myron Roll. And I hope I'm saying his last name correctly. But she decided to talk about this man and describe an interaction with him that was primarily via phone. And she described this interaction and was heavy on the creepy, borderline sexual harassment claim and allegation. Come to find out, it was a lie. But let me just kind of paint the story, okay? So former NFL player turned neurosurgeon, which is pretty amazing. Like, what? How were you once a former NFL player and now you're a neurosurgeon? Wow. But this is all to say, apparently he is well-respected, well-revered, and he is not someone who has a history of being anything creepy, never mind a sexual harasser of any sort. So, and yes, obviously there are many examples of people who didn't look the part, but still was the part. I get that. That does exist. I'm not negating that. But the point here is, in this case, it did not exist. In this case, it was not true. It was not factual. It was a lie. Okay? So let's talk about it. So he responded to the claims that she made that said that he harassed her, sexually harassed her. So the stand-up comedian first spoke of the alleged harassment on The Breakfast Club, but never mentioned his name directly. She talked about it again on her podcast. However, she did not reveal who she was speaking of up until a particular date via her Instagram stories. She said that other women contacted her and revealed similar stories. They spoke on the phone, and she said there were some troubling things in the conversation that made me take a step back. With literally no investigation, it was brought to my attention he had sexually harassed a woman by opening the door when she came to meet him for a date, butt naked, and then telling her that she was the one overreacting. Rose's response came on this happened like a year or so ago, not too long ago, but not like so recent. So that's why I'm not being specific with the dates. He flat out denied all of the allegations, of course. On top of that, he criticized how similar claims are treated nowadays. He says, quote, "I understand that in today's world, the responsibility falls on the accused to prove themselves innocent, as opposed to one's alleged accuser having to prove their claims before going public. Unfortunately, I have found myself victim to these very circumstances. Let me make myself perfectly clear," he continued. "These accusations are absolutely false and should be characterized as exactly what they are: acts of bullying, intimidation, and retaliation." He then accused Seals of making the allegation because he did not return her advances and she may have wanted a relationship with him. He says accusation of sexual harassment should be taken seriously, but the same should be said for false accusations against someone and the impact those accusations can have in today's digital world. Okay. He's since then received plenty of support from his followers, and these supporters, of course, did not believe Seals and accused her of trying to ruin his reputation. And the reason why, again, this is this came out as something that was not believed at all or instantly believed at all by, instantly believed at all in general, was just the character of who she is. The character of who she is. She comes off very angry, very bitter. And if things don't go her way, I'm going to find ways to tear you down and divert the attention away from me. And so these alleged women, first of all, who are they? Where are they? What are you talking about? Have those women come forward and said said this really happened? Did she just create this out of her ass? You know, and I just feel like this was during a time when Me Too was very still high in the zeitgeist, and she was getting she was probably getting her rocks off from being a part of this, like, oh, attention era. How can I get more attention? I'm going to accuse this innocent man of sexual harassment. When it's like, first of all, let's say, but did he do anything to you? Can we just say that? No, right? Okay. So why are you speaking on behalf of I'm speaking on these women because I have a what? So you're meaning to tell me these women spoke to her, they decided to call her on the phone. These random women decided to call Amanda Seals to let her know of this alleged moment? I don't know. I don't believe it. Obviously, no one else believed it. Obviously, it was nothing that was anything because nothing came from it. It was insufficient. So she actually came forward since then and was relentless in saying, oh, I didn't say he did it. Like, completely denying the verbatim in her words. She absolutely did say all that I said, you guys, were verbatim from what she said. Okay? So you're getting mad because of what? because you were proven wrong and you're proven to look at like this crazy person. So there's that, right? Next, she was on the show Insecure, which stars Issa Rae, and she did a great job on the show. Amanda Seales, she's a great actress. Like, she's funny. She's a funny actress. I don't know if I'm into her comedy like that, but I'm not going to shoot her down. She's an artist. There's an art for everyone. Art is subjective, so I'm not going to shoot her down on that. It's just not for me. But I do appreciate her acting skills. And the only one that I could reference at the moment, because I'm not familiar with her acting career per se, like, I don't know what she's did, like, what she's done prior to Insecure. And this is me not trying to shoot. This is me not, I'm not trying to shoot her down. I'm not. I'm just saying, I know people like to reference, oh, she was Nickelodeon. Okay, I wasn't watching that show. Okay, I was not around then, and it didn't come around. It didn't come around, like, my reruns TV era. So I'm sorry, I don't have that experience. But I have heard she was on Nickelodeon when she was a kid. Anyway, all in all, she was great on Insecure. Not taking that away from her. I think what works for her is when she gets into another character and we could just appreciate that fictional character. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we could appreciate the fact that she's so creative to play this character, to play this role. But when she is just being herself, it's so unnerving that it really turns you off. It really turns you off. Anyway, so she describes another incident in which she was disregarded from the Black community. And she was attending a Black celebration Hollywood party somewhere in California. When she got to the party, she was told that she needed to leave because she was not welcome in this space. She did not want to leave and she refused to leave. Literally, there were security there trying to escort her out. Prior to her finally leaving, she said, I'm not leaving until I know who wants me out. You know, who wants me out? Yada, yada, yada. She come to find out the manager or what was it? The PR lady, the manager, I think her name is Vanessa something. Nonetheless, the manager of Issa Rae is the one throwing this party. And she's the one who just doesn't have a girl relationship with Amanda Seales. And it turns out that she is the one responsible for that. And anyway, so she kicked her out. She kicked her out. It became this big thing. Amanda Seales came online and talked about her feelings about it. And was like, this is, you know, again, just, I'm a victim, rather than understanding what about you is making you not accepted or wanted in any space. You know, she has a history of coming online and talking dog shit about certain people, dragging the Black community and just being very condescending. It's one thing to have an education and be proud of your education. I know she has a master's degree in African American studies and she's very articulate, right? She's book smart. She is intelligent. That's great. But just because you have those things does not make you better than anybody. And I think that is what is so hard to get through in her head. She feels like that is, it seems like, I don't know her personally, but it seems like that is her like personality, like, or like a, like, oh, hi, this is my name and I have this degree, therefore you should respect me, you know? And I think there's something to that when people like to depend on these external things or these things that we think are so elite that, oh, because I have this, I'm better than you. You should respect me. Not only should you respect me, you should bow down to me. And it's like, bitch, shut the fuck up. You know, that's why you don't have, you know, anyway. Sorry, I drink this water. But yeah, I just feel like she is just so, she's so rude and condescending. I have a little story of her though, personal story. When I was in undergrad, the school that I went to, shout out to UNH, University of New Haven in Connecticut, I attended one of the Black Student Union activities or events that was held on campus. And she was actually an invited guest to perform. And she performed some, like, she's a poet as well, right? She's multi-layered, great. I'm not taking that away from her. Anyway, so she was performing her poem. She came on campus, performed her poem, and I was seated up front, right? And I think, I don't know if I'm to blame, but maybe I was, but I feel like still your delivery could have been better. Anyway, so she was performing her poem, and it starts off very, like, it's a subtle start. It's not like this, like, you immediately have to be very engaged necessarily. Not to say I wasn't engaged, but I was just so focused on her words that I wasn't listening to the call to action that she was requesting the audience to do. So she was requesting the people to do, to clap their hands, or like, yeah, I think it was a, like, yeah, like clap your hands, like kind of clap to the beat of whatever she's like creating in that moment. And I wasn't clapping. I did not clap in that moment. And it wasn't because I was trying to be like rebellious. I really was. I think I was just like awe. I was in awe of the moment. Like, I really appreciate whenever people come forward and share their feelings in any capacity. So I was literally, it wasn't even starstruck because I didn't really have like a parasocial relationship with this woman at all. Like, I didn't consider her necessarily like, oh my, this fanned out celebrity. Like, it wasn't like a big deal for me. But what was a big deal was just seeing anybody. I love seeing people go on stage and share their heart, because I've done it many times before and it's always so exhilarating. So even watching someone go up there, anyone, I find it to be so exhilarating. Like, just, I live through you. Like, it's like a weird experience that I also experienced. Nonetheless, I was enjoying her content and her delivery, but I wasn't necessarily paying attention to what she was calling me to do and everyone else to do. But everyone else was paying attention, obviously. So they were immediately clapping their hands to the beat. And I wasn't yet. I was still just like sitting there watching her. So she calls me out. Yes, she calls me out in that moment. And she calls me out in a slick way. Like, she was still on beat. And she was like, oh, like, I'm paraphrasing right now, but she was saying something to the sort of, oh, look at you not clapping your hands. And, oh, you know, just kind of like putting me on the spot. And I was so taken aback, like, wait, what? First of all, why are you talking to me? Like, it was just so rude. Like, it was literally, and it wasn't like, I don't know, like, there's a way to call someone out. Like, come on, girl, clap your hand. Like, there's a way to, you know, do it like that. You know, where it's not like you're trying to be rude and kind of, like, what the fuck? Like, I'm literally here to watch you perform and you're getting mad at one person in front who's not following your every direction. I don't know. I just find that to be so rude and weird. Like, you should be grateful that, you know, people are even here. Anyway, literally, I did not understand that she wanted me to clap in the moment. I was just so, like, just in the moment. I was, like, dazed out. And I wasn't high. I wasn't drinking or anything. I was, like, super sober during that time in college. But anyway, I would never forget that moment. I just felt like that was so rude. That was so unnecessarily rude. And the fact that that experience or that moment still lives with me today. And it's not like that I think about it every day. No, it's just whenever she comes across my algorithm, I am reminded of, oh, wow, she has the same tone and rude-ass attitude that she does now, that, you know, that she did then. Like, she's the same person. And I just find her to be so insufferable. Like, just seeing her through, just from that moment, and then seeing her through my phone and on TV, I just like, oh my God. Like, anyway, so let me go ahead and play this clip, child. I said all that to not get to the point. Let me see if I can find it real quick. So, yeah, so she calls out this Black Hollywood and feels like she deserves more than what she's getting.
If it wasn't for y'all, I would really... If it wasn't for y'all, I would really think that I ain't doing shit. Because the industry I'm in does not recognize me. And to be clear, I'm speaking about the Black spaces in the industry I'm in. Because y'all know I don't give two damns about any of these other spaces. But the Black spaces is what I'm referring to. Which is largely in part why I've realized, like, I need to shift out of this industry. You know, like, I don't get invited to Essence Women in Hollywood. I've never been invited to the NAACP Image Awards. I've been nominated for an Image Award. Never been invited to the NAACP Image Awards. Never been honored at Black Girls Rock. Like,
you know, that's so funny to me. How were you nominated and not invited? Like, you must be a fucking asshole. And what I'm reading about, like, some people's, like, take on it, a majority of people are feeling the same way as I am. Like, a majority of people feel the same. Like, yeah, she's definitely an asshole. She rubs me the wrong way. This is a common emotion that is shared amongst many people. People who know her personally, people who know her through someone else, who have a, you know, a mutual connection, and just like bystanders, or, you know, quote unquote fans, or just like, you know, regular folks who had no connection with her. We all have the same thread. We all have the same thread of feelings when it comes to her. What does that say? It's not about being a bad wagon. You know, it's not about that. It's about recognizing, hey, if everyone is saying the same thing about me, maybe it's me. Maybe I need to check myself and just have a humble moment. And I feel like, you know, within the society, even in the Black community in particular, there is grace for redemption. If you come forward and be like, yeah, I've been fucked up lately, you know, and not just like put it on this like, oh, I've been depressed. And because I actually read something that, oh, she said somewhere that she's been battling depression. And I feel like, oh, here we go. I don't want that to take away from the accountability that she should still take. You know, I can still have grace for you. And like, you know, I'm sure battling depression is difficult, right? And I want you to recognize the impact of your actions still. Okay. Anyway, I just think it's wild. Like, what? You got invited, you got nominated to the NAACP Awards and you didn't get invited?
Hosted these events, you know what I'm saying? I literally hosted the BET Awards in 2020 in my house, and I was not invited to the BET Awards since. So I just want to thank y'all for always reminding me that I really am valuable, because the game and the industry that I've been in has never let me know. Say something?
That's hilarious. Okay, so yeah, like I said, she has not been invited to the BET Awards since she's hosted it in 2020. Oh, what I wanted to say earlier, I forgot. So some people are saying, oh, the reason why people don't like her is because she speaks up for what's morally right, right? Like, she calls out any abusers in Hollywood. She doesn't just take scraps. She speaks up for herself, and she is you know, she has integrity, and she, and when someone who has that, suck my dick. Shut up. That's not it. You're missing the point. You're missing the point. It's about tone and it's about delivery. It's not about the message sometimes. It's about the timing of that. You know, you don't always have to be the obnoxious one in the room trying to prove that you're so intelligent and you have all the book smarts in the world. Girl, relax. Like, you're not that smart. If you're so smart, you need to be able to read the room. Okay? Being smart is also about being street smart. It's also about being emotionally intelligent. So miss me with the whole, I have my master's degree. Girl, I have mine too. And what? But now, okay. You know, and again, this is not to shoot her down for her accolades. Be proud of your work. Be proud of your education. That's all. That's great. But when it comes to a point when you are being condescending, being rude, being entitled, and lacking any amount of self-awareness, nah, you need to be checked each and every time. So yeah, you won't get an invite until you check yourself. You won't get, you know, acknowledged and recognized in these black spaces until you check yourself. It's not about playing the game necessarily. It's not about that. It's about just being nice. Be kind. Stop always having an attitude. Why are you always upset? There's this interview I watched of hers. I know I did watch it. I don't know. It came on my algorithm, y'all. I'm like, let me just watch this bitch. Oh, let me look at me. Oh, let me just watch her. Fuck. But I wanted to watch this video of hers that came out recently. She was a guest on a podcast called Real Love Scenarios. My first time watching that podcast. I think I saw it before on like as I was scrolling through YouTube. I never clicked it until now. And the only reason I clicked it was the title of the video talked, it said Amanda Seales and like talks about recent breakup. And I was like, what? And I say that because I remember months ago, I saw her on my Instagram algorithm. Like, I think as I was scrolling through Neighborhood Talk or the shit, one of those, because there was a video of hers that came up. And I just like, oh, you know, what's going on? Whatever. I just like scrolling through different content. And I seen that video that she was in her, excuse me, in her white tennis outfit. And her, well, before I knew, obviously he was her boyfriend, but this man just came up to her, next to her, and like she kissed him, like they kissed each other as she was seated in her car. And it seemed like, oh my gosh, is this her boyfriend? Oh my gosh, is she finding love? Oh my gosh, is she being loved finally? You know, maybe we get to see a softness in her that we've never seen, you know, that I've never noticed in her, you know, that many of us never, you know, ever noticed in her. So I was actually happy for her. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy for her. This is great. Maybe we can finally relax. Maybe she'll stop being angry all the time. Maybe she just needed consistent dick. Not even just that, but just love and affection. You know, consistency. Just a fuck. Just giving a fuck. Anyway, that was 9 months ago. They recently broke up. Hence why she came on a podcast and talked about their breakup. And I'm not laughing at the breakup necessarily. I'm not. I'm just like, I'm laughing at the fact that she talks about everything. Like, everything that took place that probably led to the breakup. Basically, I think it was a number of things that she said. It wasn't like deduced to, oh, he cheated, right? She didn't say anything about cheating. So I'm glad that it wasn't anything like that. And not glad in the sense of, oh, I'm happy he wasn't cheating. No, it's not that. It's just, I'm glad that we're talking about other factors that could lead to breakups. I feel like sometimes we forget cheating is not the only or quote unquote acceptable reason for why a couple breaks up. Like, there's so many other reasons why a couple will break up. You know, it could be because of financial reasons. It could be because of just lack of respect, just differences, future goals not aligning. Like, there's so many other reasons, okay? It's just, people be like, oh, he cheated. It's like, okay, that's it? Okay. Anyway, but you know, we all have our standards and boundaries. That's fine, whatever. Okay, so yeah, I was a little sad for her. I was like, dang, they broke up. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Like, I was really like, oh, you know, I really felt for her. Yes, the same woman who I still felt, you know, treated me poorly when I was 19 years old at my college campus. Oh, child, what a time. Anyway, so I watched it, right? And she talks about how he basically didn't agree with her about her Palestinian views. They broke up because he was not as passionate about Palestine as she was. You know how, you know, currently and, well, forever really, but like currently there's so much hysteria going on between Palestine and Israel. And yes, I think, sure, everyone should be pro-Palestine, you know, but the propaganda that's in the news makes one instantly become pro-Israel, and there's a lot of battle in between that. Amanda Seales is pro-Palestine. She talks about it. She's wearing, even in the interview, I noticed, until I read the comments, I didn't even pick up on it prior, but she's wearing Palestinian colors and a type of garb around her neck. It's like this scarf, but it's particular to Palestinian culture. So she's like doing the fucking most. And like, girl, okay, look, I'm not here to say you can't feel passionate or proactive about any cultural strife that's happening. But I just feel like, ma'am, are you gonna lose a vein? Are you gonna lose, like, I just wanna understand, yes, it does, I don't know, I'm trying to understand more of, like, how does this necessarily impact you as a Black woman in America today, right? And that is what I don't have an answer for yet. And maybe I have to do more research about it. You know, maybe I got to speak to the Freckles Bay about it more. But I just don't. I'm not saying this to say that you shouldn't feel passionate about other things that's going on in different areas. I'm not saying that. I just feel like, when do you turn it off, though? Hello? Because you have to turn it off at some point. You have to go to sleep. You have to go out to eat. You have to have fun girls' night. You have to, like, relax. Like, you can't always be on go. Because what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, what are you, like, I think there's a level of narcissism when it comes to activism. I really do. I think there's something about activists, some of them. But the ones who are super passionate, so much so that they are dedicating their entire existence, that they're killing. I heard about this guy, this random white guy in the States, killed himself, like literally committed, like unalived himself because of his stance about what's going on between Israel and Palestine. So you kill yourself? Like, what is that? What are you doing? Like, when are you gonna say, look, I'ma support the causes, right? Okay, I'ma donate here. I'm gonna, you know, give my platform to Palestinians to speak on this matter, or, you know, I'll share this link. Like, you could do so many other things beside killing yourself than killing yourself. Like, you know, like, there are other answers. There are answers. That's not the answer. I do not support that, okay? So that's the extreme of the matter. And I think what's also in alignment with being extreme here is you not feeling any ounce of joy in any part of your day because you are so verklempt over what's happening over there. Do you think, look, I'm not saying that they probably haven't come across your content and haven't felt some level of support or relief. I don't know, sure. I think parasocial relationships are so real, and the feelings that we get from people who we see online, whom we may follow and subscribe to their content, that's absolutely real. I'm not going to take that away from her or anybody, really. I remember just a few days ago, I was in Target, and I saw this woman who I would see on my Instagram. I don't follow her necessarily, but I follow her friends. There's a lot of people who I follow on my Instagram who I don't know at all personally, but I know your friends though, right? Like, there's some connection that we have. Nonetheless, like, they're like either micro influencers or full on influencers. And I'm very connected to their work or to their content. Like, I'm very intrigued by them. I've created this like parasocial relationship with them. I really have. I really even accepted that as the truth. Nonetheless, I saw this woman in Target who I have seen on my Instagram so many times, whose friends I follow. I don't follow her directly because I don't feel like her content really speaks to me, but I still see her work. I still know what she's up to necessarily because her friends repost, like they repost each other. Like, they're all friends. I know she's just having her first baby now. Like, she just got pregnant. Like, I know her life. And I know this may sound creepy, but honestly, it doesn't. It doesn't even sound creepy because we live in this day and age where that is what we do. We go online, we share our lives with strangers, and it's okay. We get paid for it, or we get some type of pleasure from it. So it's not even just a monetary gain, it's an emotional gain. I feel compensated emotionally as well. Anyway, I saw her in Target and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's her. I said, oh my gosh, it's her. Mind you, she's not even like this big deal. I'm not trying to shoot her, but all I'm saying, it's really not a big deal. But in my head, it was a big deal. I'm like, oh my gosh, she looks just like her photos. Oh my gosh, she's actually taller than I thought she was. Oh my gosh, she's so beautiful. Like, I was looking at her, and I'm like, oh, look at her. And I wanted to be like, oh, where's your husband? Y'all look so good. So like, anyway, why did I bring it up? I bring it up because, yes, I'm sure her videos, I'm sure Amanda Seale's videos about Palestine is somehow reaching the people in Palestine. Some of them there may have come across her content and find some level of joy and happiness from her support. That is true. And what I'm saying is, take a break. Take a nap, go for a walk, let your feet, let your toes massage the grass outside. Not even artificial. Make sure you go to an actual grass land and touch it with your toes. Roll around. Be a dog for a second. Roll around. Roll over. Roll over. My dog's looking at me because that's what I say to him all the time, but he hasn't gotten the drift yet. Not roll over, you know what I mean? Like, just fucking roll over. I just want her to roll over. I want Amanda Seale to roll over. I want her to take a break, take a breath, go for a walk, and roll over. That's all. Okay, so I guess I was the only one who knew or just found out, never mind new. I guess I'm the only one who found out that instant noodles are not safe. The noodles that you would get for like 10 cents a packet, or the ones that you'll get for like, probably like less than $5 for a whole set of instant noodles. Yeah, the noodles that are on the bottom shelf at the grocery store, I guess that should have been sign number one. But come to find out, instant noodles have microscopic bugs in them. Ciao. I can't tell you how many times I've eaten these noodles throughout my life, and even in recent months I've had these noodles just on some, I don't have much of an appetite, let me just go ahead and pop these noodles in real quick. You know, or I'm kind of short with my budget, I'm just gonna get a pack of these and I'll eat them morning, noon, and night. Most agree that instant noodles aren't the healthiest choice. And I actually didn't even realize that. I figured noodles, you got peas, you got corn. You could get it in beef flavor, chicken flavor. But I think maybe it's the fact that it's instant. You know, there's something about anything that's instantaneous makes it not the healthiest choice. Something about the instant of it, you know. Anyway, they are full of empty calories and provide little nutritional benefits. Although they may lack the good stuff, they might also be filled with more than what you want to consume. So a video has been released on TikTok. And in this video, someone crushes the instant noodles in a microscope. And he's looking through it. And I don't want to watch the video anymore. Oh, it's so creepy. But as he's looking through the microscope, he is seeing these black fibers of like these spots of discoloration. So there are several black fibers along the noodles. Okay, so that's weird. Why are there several black fibers along the noodles? And the spots of these fibers are discolored. That doesn't look great. So it doesn't look high quality just from that, right? So now he continues to look through it and he sees that many processed foods look like under magnification, and he basically shows us a different perspective of these types of foods, these cheap noodles. So let's see, I'm trying to find exactly where it says. So it says here also that these noodles are low in protein and fiber, and the seasoning packet contains high amounts of sodium. Many also contain loads of artificial ingredients and saturated fats. I just found out the cinnamon that one would normally get from the grocery store is not, in fact, healthy for you. There's a particular type of cinnamon that we all should be getting instead. This cinnamon includes Ceylon. It actually says Ceylon right on the cover. It's not like one of those things where you have to read the ingredient list to make sure it has it. No, it has Ceylon in the front on the label right over cinnamon. So if you are a cinnamon lover, I encourage you to get Ceylon cinnamon. And you'll see it definitely at Whole Foods. Let's talk about Whole Foods real quick, because I went to Whole Foods and it took me a while to find that Ceylon cinnamon. It was in the back of the regular cinnamon. I just feel like no matter where you go, you could go to a quote unquote health food store and a healthy food store and think, oh, everything in here is for my benefit, when it's like, no, you have to still go digging. I had to ask someone, hey, do you guys carry this? And she had to dig in the back of the tray on the shelf for the Ceylon cinnamon. Like, ma'am, either y'all packaged this incorrectly or you are really trying to kill me. Like, we are in this day and age where we have to fight for our life. I gotta fight for my life. Shout out to R. Kelly. Like, we really do. We really do. And it's tiring. Okay. So anyway, come to find out, these noodles have bugs in them. There are bugs in these noodles. These, like, moving particles that are actual small, minute bugs. And I'm just here to tell you guys, we all are figuring out more and more how the industry, the food industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the prison industry, even the school industry, like the, you gotta fight for your life everywhere you go. Okay, so maybe this is just a testament to say, ask questions, do your research, do it some more, cross-check it, take note, have a diary, track, have a journal, you know, track your body and how it reacts to certain foods and certain ingredients. Do you feel depleted or do you feel rejoiced? And go from there. But yeah, I mean, at this point, it's really, it's quite disturbing, but it really just speaks to the capitalistic society that we're in. If we were in other countries, like, you know, just other, you know, I know in Europe, they don't have these poisons that's in the foods regularly. It's actually outlawed to have some of the main ingredients that we have here in the USA. So that's just something to be noted. But yeah, this is just a note. I hope this is encouraging for you all. I know sometimes it could feel very discouraging, like, damn, again? Now I gotta look for my cinnamon that says Ceylon in it? Yes. Yes, that's it. That's the answer. That's it, child. That is it. Damn. So there are victims of Catholic nuns who want to be heard. Yes, you heard me correctly. You know, for so many years, we've heard of sexual abuse from now men, you know, who are once young boys, abused by the priests, the archdiocese, you know, the men in power at the church. But we don't hear of any abuse from the nuns, the women in power, the women in positions in the clergy. So I just find it to be very interesting. But the victims of Catholic nuns want to be heard and definitely have felt overlooked over the years, and they want things to be done about it. So the sexual abuse of children by Catholic sisters and nuns has been overshadowed by far more common reports of male clergy abuse. There's a support group that meets over Zoom, and they talk about their lives, their religious families, and their parochial schools. I guess religious schools. Like, they grew up in a Catholic school setting type of thing. Yeah, I was right. A parish, relating to a church parish. Just say that. Anyway. So there's a support group that meets and talk about their upbringing, the religious household that they grew up in, the religious schools that they attended, and just the different and similar experiences that they had with each other. But mostly they are there to talk about the sexual abuse they suffered at the hands of Catholic nuns. I never would have even, I think it's even sexist to even say that, right? Because obviously sexual abuse is not only of one gender. There are female sexual abusers, absolutely. So it's pretty disappointing that that is not given the same amount of light and attention. So I do feel sad about that. The topic deserves more attention, they say. The sexual abuse of children by Catholic sisters and nuns has been overshadowed, and they want to be heard. Women in religious orders have also been abuse victims, but they have been perpetrators too. We've heard so much about priests who abuse and so little about nuns who abuse. It's time to restore the balance. A woman named Mary Dispenza, she talks about her abuse that she endured from both a childhood priest and a nun in her former order. Started the online support group 5 years ago with the survivors network of those abused by priests. More victims had been contacting her in the wake of #MeToo. As they reassess past sexual abuse. She has since seen a growing awareness of abusive nuns at former Catholic orphanages and Native American boarding schools. Ooh, cha. These Native Americans have just been getting hell after hell. I mean, at this point, burn the whole country down. The general public would rather not consider the fact that religious women rape, molest, and torture children. That is a wild statement. You could have reworded that. Could have said the general public would rather not consider the fact that there are some women who are religious. You know what I mean? Like, make it, don't just make a blanket statement like that. But anyway. It is what it is. Women are seen as nurturers and caregivers, and there's an assumption that only heightened with spiritual halo of religious women. So people can't even fathom the idea of a woman, never mind a nun, being abusive in any sort, especially sexually abusive. It's one thing to be abusive, like, physically, because I know there's been nuns, like there's so many stories of acceptance of nuns who worked in schools who were physically abusive to children, like who would paddle the children on the butt, who would discipline them in any ways necessary that would lead to physical and verbal abuse, right? But the point of that, or the acceptance of that, was, well, you have to keep the rod on the child, right? It's a biblical support to that. Not to say it's right or wrong, but that is the understanding and the acceptance of that behavior from a nun. But to hear that there were nuns, not all nuns, of course, but that there were nuns who have been sexually abusive, like, what? So this woman, who's now 66 years old, she talks about her sophomore year at, a woman named Gabrielle Longhi. She talks about her sophomore year at Stone Ridge School of the Sacred Heart in Bethesda, Maryland, when she alleges a teacher who was then a Catholic sister with the Society of the Sacred Heart sexually abused her in an office. Unlike most child sex abuse victims, she spoke up right away. She told other teachers, her sister, and friends that Sister Margaret Daly had tried to sexually force herself on Longhi, on the woman. Neither her parents nor the police were notified. She also kind of retreated after that. She became more closed down, said her sister, who was then a student at Stone Ridge's middle school. The sisters say they were soon asked to leave Stone Ridge. So instead of asking and taking disciplinary actions against the alleged abuser, this nun. Instead, they kick out the kids. They kick out the kids because they probably felt like, oh, the kids are making the environment uncomfortable, and it's best for them to just go ahead and leave. What they're alleging is outrageous. Sister Margaret would never do such a thing. And come to find out, she was not alone. So the woman, she wondered, her last name is Longhi. Longhi always wondered if there were other victims. Daly, which is another woman, her last name, her alleged, Daly is the name of the nun. Daly, her alleged abuser, left the order in 1980 and died in 2015. But last year, Longhi learned from another support group member that Maryland was removing its civil statute of limitations for child sex abuse victims. After the new law went into effect, Longhi sued her former school and the religious order. Good. Get your get back. Stone Ridge, which has educated the Kennedys and the daughters of other Washington luminaries, sent a letter to its community about the allegations last fall. The school declined to comment further on active litigation. So I wonder what they said in the letter. Probably just denied the claims, of course. The Society of the Sacred Heart declined to discuss the allegations, but issued a statement saying the order and its schools have implemented robust child protection policies. We are deeply saddened. Our prayers go out to all involved in this matter and to all survivors of sexual abuse. An anticipated constitutional challenge to Maryland's law is pending, but the policy change makes all the difference in the world. Before, you have no case, and now you do. So this is very unfortunate, beyond unfortunate. It's very disturbing, and I'm sorry that she experienced that. I hope she does get some level of just due, because she did not deserve to get kicked out for speaking the truth and trying to get justice for the abuse that was happening towards her from this protected person in the community who should have been a protector. Instead, it was her abuser, which was a nun, which is just ridiculous. So disturbing, so crazy. But yeah, I just find it to be very interesting. Oh, it's another one. Let me read this one. Paige. So you see how, hold on. I'm noticing a trend here. The victims all so far have been women, okay? And the nuns are obviously women. So are these nuns lesbians? And didn't know how to express that or accept that. And so they take out their lesbian desires on poor, innocent, not poor in a financial sense, but just poor in a helpless sense. Children? Paige Epstein Anderson is still hoping for her day in court. Like many group members, it took her decades to see that what happened to her was abuse. And once she did in 2020 at age 40, the statute of limitations had run out on her claim in her home state of Pennsylvania. Quote, it was abuse. I interpreted it as love. She said of the sexual relationship she had as a student with a Catholic school teacher who later joined a religious order. As a teenager, she spent much of her free time with her teacher. Their bond was so noticeable that a yearbook entry from a friend called her the woman's companion. Now that's weird. Let me read that again. Their bond was so noticeable that a yearbook entry from a friend called her the woman's companion. Okay. Quote, it was very confusing to me. Anne Gleason was also nearly 40 and in therapy before she understood that she was sexually abused for years, starting at age 13 by a nun who was 24 years her senior. So the nun was 37 years old. Oof, that's disturbing. She received a settlement from the Sisters of St. Joseph of Carondelet in 2004. Quote, "The nun brainwashed me into thinking we were head over heels in love," she said. God's love. Oh, so disgusting. I hate when people do that. God has nothing to do with this. Oh, that is religious abuse right there. God's love. That's why no one else could know about it. It was so special. I'm so sorry she went through this. That's really sad. I'm so sad, so sad, so sad. And the manipulation in this is so deep because to be at the tender age of 13, you obviously are so susceptible to things like this. You believe older people. You're conditioned to believe and trust and put your whole heart into whatever an older person, whatever an adult says. You know, this adult figure has so much authority in your life that of course you're going to believe this person. Of course what they're saying is Bible. Never mind a nun at that. But it turns out, just to clarify, she didn't start off as a nun. She became, she was just a teacher at the Catholic school, but she later on joined a religious order. So I don't know if when she joined the religious order, the sexual relationship continued. Nonetheless, regardless, she was still out of line, inappropriate, committing a crime against a child. So, oh, so sad, so sad. All right, you guys, let's end it here. Great note. Great note to end it on, but I am glad these women are speaking up. I'm glad that this attention is being had, because when I tell you, it never even dawned on me that nuns could do such a thing. But unfortunately, you know, everyone's flawed. Not to say this is like, oh, you're an abuser, you're flawed. Not to diminish like that. I'm just saying, like, I think sometimes we like to put this like perfectionism and certain people because of their title, right? Oh, this person's a priest, this person's a nun, this person is a teacher, right? And the point is, everyone has something up with them. Not to say to this extent, but you shouldn't only like give your all into someone just because they hold this title. Like, you shouldn't immediately trust someone and let your child be with this person for so long just because, oh, this person's a nun, this is a good person. You have to do your due diligence. You still have to be paranoid. You still have to be on it. You have to chaperone. You know, it's a sick world. It's a sick, 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 sick world that we're in. So you have to do your best to protect your children and protect yourselves as best as you can. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your support, and I will check in with you all next time. Peace.